Hello and welcome to another 8-minute demo. Well, you know, they're not all 8 minutes, but there's 8-minute segments in there anyway. Today's talk is all about Microsoft Azure Stack. My name is Charles Joy. I'm a Principal Program Manager on the Azure Stack team. Today's talk specifically is about Microsoft Azure Stack Technical Preview 1, POC, single node deployment. So it's all about deployment. And then at the end of the video, after I've deployed it, I show you what I do initially to kick the tires with it. So I hope this is the first of many different 8-minute demo videos on Azure Stack, but let's kick this one off with deployment. Enjoy. All right, I'm going to start this video out by going to the landing page for Azure Stack on Azure.com. Then we're going to take a look at the documentation, and then we'll go into the details of deployment. So you can Google or Bing or whatever you want to do to get there, but I have some AKA links set up that you may want to use. So aka.ms/Azure Stack. Just go there. It auto-completed, so that's aka.ms/Azure Stack. And this will bring you to the landing page of Microsoft Azure Stack on Azure.com, as you can see here. And you can see you can hit the try it now. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, or you're thinking about downloading it, this is where you'd want to go. But of course, if you follow the directions that are on this page, 1, 2, and then 3, you'll start with 1, which is a very good place to start. And we'll go to the hardware deployment requirements, which actually take you back to the documentation. So it's a little, but it's all on Azure.com. So you should be aware of that. Now, this takes you specifically into the before you deploy section, which is a good place to start on the documentation. But there are other places on the documentation, and this is not a video about documentation, but you can see there's an overview, there's getting started, there's using templates, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. But for deployment, this video specifically, if you go start from the try it now area, you get directed over here where you start to look at the hardware requirements for an Azure Stack proof of concept environment, and you could go with the minimum or recommended. I know there's some stuff out there on making it work on less than minimum and things like that, tweaking it. We love the experimentation, but we cannot support all the variations there. So minimum recommended or what we our best effort support will be around, and that's what you're going to get the best experience out of, because we have a lot of stuff. This is a platform. It's not just something you install and it's then just working and nothing else is added. You're going to install this platform and then you're going to add things to it, and those things take resources. So if you could muster up a machine with a minimum recommended, that is recommended. So once you have this, and I actually have a machine that I'll be doing all this work on, so let's take a look at that now. So this is that machine. If we want to take a look, Task Manager, Performance, you could see I have the minimum for the cores. So you see I have dual socket, total 12 cores there, and then memory is at 96 gig. So this is the minimum recommended spec that we've called out. But for now, you'll be seeing in this video deployment of Azure Stack Proof of Concept on a minimum spec box based on the requirements that are in the documentation. Now, to save time, and I'll be doing a lot of this time savings, I have actually downloaded the Azure Stack Technical Preview and going to go through that process. So at this point, if you had a machine or a staging machine or something, you've downloaded, it's a 10 gig file, a zip file, that you get when you hit download from that Try It Now page. And now the next steps, once you have it downloaded and on your machine, and you could expand it wherever you want. I mean, it just gets bigger from here. So if you have the space, go ahead and do it on the machine that you've provisioned. So I'm going to go ahead and start this process, and I'm going to go ahead and extract all. And then I'm not going to wait for this and make you watch this, so we'll be back when it is expanded. All right, that extraction is finishing up, and now it is complete. And you can see from here we have an application, an executable, with some bin files that we have to do some further extraction on. So it's very compressed so we can get the large amount of data to you in a simple way. So from here, we just go ahead and execute the extractor. And of course, there's license terms. We encourage you to read and accept them. And there's a privacy statement. Again, we encourage you to read them, and there's the links available. And then you can choose where you'd like to extract it to. And then go ahead and extract. And this will take a while, so we're actually going to come back when this is complete. Actually, I'll break in here. As you can see, it's still extracting. I still got some time to go. I did want to cover off on some more of the documentation side since we have a little bit of time here and I can multitask. So back to the documentation. We were at the hardware, and then we basically said, let's go see the hardware, and I had it downloaded and start, it's unzip and then extract. So we're not really to the deployment yet. We're still in the pre-deployment phase. But to actually take it a step further, let's go to the deploy instructions, and actually we'll see the prepare the deployment machine, and this is the machine that I'm actually on. One of the things I didn't call out immediately was that the very first step I called out immediately, as you can see here, minimum requirements, that's the kind of machine we have as far as physical box. The way we were looking at those minimum requirements, we were in an operating system. I actually happen to have Windows Server 2016 Data Center Edition Technical Preview 4 full edition installed on that host, and I will go verify. I'll show you that right now, so I cover off all my bases. And again, this is still going, so we have time. So I'm going to go ahead here, click system, and you can see I have TP4 installed on this machine. The other thing I do want to go to is on this machine, and you can see I have, I believe this, where is it, update. This is the latest cumulative that was available as of the time I deployed this physical host. And then I just want you to see that this is the baseline that I have right now as of the date that I'm doing this. You can see when I deployed this machine for this video. So we're still back waiting for this, and I'll jump back to the documentation so we can get a level set on that. So we've done this, we've done step two, and we've done step three, and now we are running the executable. This is where we're at right now, and we'll come back once we can continue on and start doing the boot from VHD side of things. So I'll go back to the extractor, and then we'll be back live. All right, it looks like this is about to finish up. So we'll actually, because, and this is something I recommend, it depends on what you want to do and how much space you have and everything like that. But obviously we had a big download. We had something that extracted that's pretty big, and then we actually extracted it, and here's the end result, right, which is itself, what was it, 24 gig, it looks like, yeah, 25 gig. So there's a couple things we probably want to clean up just to save some space on the disk. So you're pretty safe to delete this and the zip file. Obviously, you wouldn't want to accidentally delete this. So I'm actually going to move these contents, probably right out into here. So let me go ahead and do that. I'll just move the extracted stuff out to here, and then get rid of these two folders, which will clear up, 19 gig. And now I have the stuff that I want anyway that I can continue on with the instructions for. So let's take a look at the instructions, the documentation. All right, we did confirmation of this, and there was that third-party notices thing that was added as the EULA. And then it says you must have at least 128 gig free space on the physical boot volume. Let's go verify that. And I do just have that. That's good. And then next, we're going to copy the VHDX and then rename it. So I'm going to go ahead and copy this name. We want to copy it to the C drive. So let's go ahead and do that now. Copy this over. Rename it. And let's go back to the documentation. In File Explorer, right click and choose mount. Okay, you can see that it mounted it as F in File Explorer. We did that. Open a command prompt window as an administrator and run the following command. So we will modify this, and we said that was F, so I'll copy that, and we're going to go ahead and alright, and the next step, reboot the machine. It will automatically run Windows Setup as the VHD system is prepared. When asked, provide your country language, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to have to actually KVM into this machine. I'm in KVM here. You could maybe tell by the mouse lag there. And I'm going to go ahead and just reboot this machine. And I'll let that reboot. Now you can see in the KVM session, it is rebooting. You can see here we're in the boot sequence here. And because we set the BCD boot on this, it will actually choose, bring that one to the top. People have noted that it's easier if you rename these things, so you know what's going on. I recommend that as well. I didn't do that here, but yeah, you can find a blog post on that. I'm going to go ahead and actually just wait, because if I wasn't watching this, this is what would happen. So I'm going to boot into this, and then it will ask of me a couple questions around initial setup of the OS. Also in step 9 on the documentation, it talks about the BIOS and UTC versus local time and stuff like that. That doesn't apply to everybody, but if your BIOS does have that option, make sure it's local to your time and not set to UTC. We have seen issues with that. If you do have issues with that, please reach out to us via the forum. All right, and here we are with those questions that they were going to ask. So I'm going to choose my configuration. Next. And do this later. It's eval anyway. I'm going to obviously read and accept the terms. And then I'm going to give a password. Finish. Make sure everything's good, and then I'll RDP back in. And because the name of the machine has changed, because we're booted into the VHD, I'll actually probably grab the IP address and RDP into it via the IP address, so I don't have to worry about DNS resolution. I'll go ahead and get my IP address, and then I'll RDP back in. And as I was trying to remote, and I realized that this setting was probably not checked, so I'm going to head and allow RDPing into this booted OS. And you can see I'm starting that RDP process here, and we'll be back in business, as you can see. I just took over the session. So close some of this stuff out. And there, we could continue on with the instructions at step 10, which is log in to the local account with the administrator permissions. So we're going to validate that we're actually in the correct side. Obviously, we are. Went through all that process. You can see the C drive where we're booted doesn't even have those folders we had, and the D drive, of course, has the AzureStack download here, the bits. I'm actually going to copy them over and continue on with the process. Now, there are a couple things before we get started with the actual deployment process that I like to take care of right off the bat. They will hang you up if you don't do them, so let's take care of those now. First, Go to local server, and IE enhanced security is on by default, obviously. What we want to do is at least turn it off for administrators. Because this is a test system, I just turn it off so I don't have any problems if I need to log into the system. And then what this is going to do, because we're executing PowerShell and we need to make a call out to Azure AD, it pops like a little screen that uses Internet Explorer. And if this is on, and we and I haven't dove into all the things I could flip switches to just make that bit you know, enable just the piece that is needed. So turning this off essentially enables that. If you don't do this, you'll get a JavaScript is not enabled issue. And then there's one more thing in IE that we have to take care of, and it's the cookies thing that you might have seen reference to if you read the forums. So if you go into Internet Explorer, and you can go ahead and click through here, you could see that it's not enabled, so we won't hit those issues. But there's one more thing. If you do the combination of these two things, should get you through no problem with running the PowerShell script for deploying Azure Stack. So it's under Privacy, Advanced. All you have to do is hit OK here, OK, and then cookies won't be a thing that gets popped up, or an error with cookies won't be a thing that popped up. So those two things I take care of right off the bat, so I don't have to worry about them later. The next thing is, and this is noted in the documentation, we actually do want to only have one NIC enabled, otherwise the script will balk at you during the prerequisites. So you can see I have three or four total. I'm just going to, and this is the one I'm in on right here, so I'm going to go ahead and just disable these other ones. And because I have a KVM, it's possible if I did the wrong one, I could go in and fix that. But you got to be careful. If you're going through this boot from VHD process, you obviously have a method to interact with the system that's not via RDP. But just be wary. If I get rid of this, I'd lose my connection, obviously. So I have one NIC. That's good. The other thing I want to check very quickly is in disk management. And these should be in this state. And ready. So basically I have a bunch of disks available, and they are just ready and ready to be used. Another bit of information. Work group, obviously we don't want it in a domain. That is step 12. And then I'll verify your connectivity to Azure.com. So you can't use Edge, obviously. I'll show you the error as your administrator, but you can use IE. As we were in earlier making that change, and if we just go to Azure.com, just verifying my internet connectivity because we do connect to Azure Active Directory in this deployment process. Now, let's bring up the instructions, and I'll actually highlight where I've been through with you through this process. But basically, we did the BCD boot, we rebooted the machine, saw me do the questions for the initial setup of the OS. We logged in as administrator. I verified the disks. I actually made sure we only had one NIC. I think that's further on in the process. I did those steps with IE, enhanced security, and the cookies thing. I made sure we were not domain joined, and I went to Azure.com to verify. And there's the NIC thing here. So the next thing is we want to run the PowerShell script, and we're going to go ahead and do that now. And I'm going to actually copy the bits over to the C drive and kick this off. So let's do that. I'm just going to create a new folder over here called Azure Stack. And go ahead and grab the bits. I need the four VHDs and the PowerShell script. I'm just going to copy them over. I guess I could move them over. All right, that stuff's copied over. And in fact, I am kind of worried about space, so I'm actually going to act as though I moved it over. So I'm actually going to delete this folder since we're all sharing the same space. And I do have a copy of it, and if I had to, I could get it back if I needed to. So, all right, here we are. We are now on step... we're starting step one of the run PowerShell deployment script in the documentation. So what I do, and you could open up PowerShell however you want, but I am logged in as administrator. I'm just going to type PowerShell in the window here. It gives me the right context. I'm in that folder for C Azure Stack. So I am going to actually just go ahead and type D and then tab complete deploy azure stack.ps1. And then I will do verbose so you could see what that looks like. It is in the documentation. There are some optional parameters for this. There's quite a few optional parameters, actually. So I'll just run through them very quickly. I'm not going to use any of them. I could script this out. Many people have. So admin password, AAD credential, AAD tenant, tip service account credentials. So you can identify if you want to use AAD China, if that's something you want. You could do that there. It defaults to Azure Cloud, though. If you have a static, no DHCP, then there's instructions on how to set up using a static IP address and a gateway, and then some other things, a proxy server, I guess that's all of that is documented. Mine's default vanilla deploy, so I'm just going to do verbose, hit enter. And then it's going to start the process. And this is where things get really easy. I know a lot of this has been lots of different steps up to this point, prepping this. But if you get a machine prepped for this and you could reuse that, like with the boot from VHD stuff, it'll be very, very quick moving forward. You can see there's a whole bunch of information here in the verbose. You don't have to do the verbose. So you don't have to see all this. If you don't do the verbose, you wouldn't see any of the yellow bits here. So the first thing it asks me, once it does all the prereqs, and you can see I passed all the prereqs. I have a minimum spec, and I've done all the necessary steps in the documentation. First thing it's going to ask me is for a password. And this password, although it says built-in administrator, it is the password for all the things in this POC deployment. So it's going to be the domain accounts, the local accounts for the VMs, and things like that. So make sure you take note of this, and we do ask you for it twice. So in case there's any mistypes. So I'm going to type my password in here, and then it'll say if they matched, then we can continue. The next step is it's going to go ahead and ask me for login to AAD. Now in this, you see it pops up this IE window, essentially this embedded sort of IE window, and this is pretty standard for authentication to AAD. But this is where if you didn't do the cookies thing or didn't do the IE enhanced security thing, you'd be blocked here, and that would be troublesome. So we do that ahead of time. That's in the documentation. I'm just this is the experience you want to see, and now I can sign in with a directory tenant that is actually mine. So mine, I'm gonna actually deploy this system with my MSA. And you could do this as an org or an MSA. And I'm going to go ahead and sign in. I have multi-factor authentication, so I have to go get my number. And then we'll be off to the races here. It'll actually have me choose which directory I want to use. I'm going to go ahead and hit submit. I'm going to verify I am me. And it's signing me in. It's doing all that stuff. I happen to have access to different environments. The one I want, though, for this deployment is the one I called Microsoft Corporation. You can see it's charlesjoyhotmail@onmicrosoft.com. So I'm going to choose one. And then if I'm ready to go, I'm going to hit yes. Then it says, are you really, really sure you want to do the POC? Yes. And now, 2.5 hours later or so, we'll be able to come back, and it will be a fully deployed Azure Stack deployment, and we'll resume at that point. So I'll see you in a little while. All right, we're back, and the machine is back online. We're going to log back in here. And during the process of deploying Azure Stack, it will reboot several times. So while I kept the RDP window open, it obviously closed when it rebooted. And when you log back in, sometimes you'll get the PowerShell actually will restart, and you'll see the success message. We'll see if that happens. But I'm going to show you where you can check for that. Right now, in case that message didn't come up, you could go check the logs. And it's a good idea to know where the logs are anyway. I know we're probably in a good state here because I saw the RDP file that's on the desktop, but I'm just going to give it a couple more seconds while it's booting up here to see if that PowerShell window is going to pop. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I've actually left this for longer than expected. This probably finished a while ago, but I had some other things I had to tend to before I came back to this, which is something that's nice. You don't have to tend over it. You could just kick it off, run it, and to go. So, I want to reiterate, while there are quite a few steps to get the host prepped, once you're the host is prepped and you know the prerequisites are there and all that, and you've done the boot from VHD experience, you know, if I need to redeploy this, I basically just, you know, flush this VHD and kick, copy another one, and then perform that process again, and then kick off the deployment, and I'm off to the races. So I mean, it's not that heavy. It's actually pretty easy once you get used to it. I mean, the first time will take some effort, and that's one of the reasons I'm doing this video, is to walk you through some of the various steps that may or may not be confusing. And I'd love feedback on this, obviously, and because we could improve the documentation. I could do another video or whatever you guys want. So it doesn't look like that PowerShell window is going to pop up. That's not a bad thing. It's just I probably missed the timing on that. So let's take a look at where the logs are, which I would have done anyway. So they're not obvious, so they're not right off the main thing. You can see there's the media that I used, but we don't have like a logs thing right off of here. So what I'm going to do is /program data, and then pop in here. There's Microsoft, there's Azure Stack, deployment. Oh, those are the actual files. I went too far, too fast. So actually deployment status here. It's going to open up an XML file in IE. That's the default on this. And we could see here, status completed. If there was an error, there'd be some problems here. And of course, there's some other information specific to my deployment here. And there's nothing sensitive in here. You saw that I used my on Microsoft, my Charles Joy Hotmail account anyway. So, but it's all here. We could prove that it deployed with the settings I did, and it says completed. So what are the next steps? Now, this is not a what do I do after deployed video. I will do one of those if that's something that people want, but I will show you what I would do next. And honestly, it's very similar to what I did to the host, but and it's probably something that maybe we should document, but I'll get in this video at the very least. So off the desktop, there's this client VM Azure Stack local, which essentially we've plumbed it, so you basically could just log in here with that password you supplied during the deployment. Now this was with Azure Stack user, which is your primary user in this client VM for interacting with Azure Stack. But what I'm going to do actually first is log in as an administrator, so I can disable IE enhanced security, so I could do that PowerShell stuff, you know, deploying templates via PowerShell, which is my primary method of deploying templates. So I'm going to log in as Azure Stack administrator with that same password that I set up. So all the accounts share that password. You can go ahead and change those if you want. You're just going to have to make sure you know what they are, obviously, over time. So this is going to log in to the client VM as the administrator. And I'm doing this because I know I can go in and disable IE enhanced security on this client VM. Again, this is a proof of concept environment. I'm not too concerned with it. And that will enable me to run the PowerShell stuff. The other thing, what you'll see is if you're going to deploy the PaaS services for maybe SQL, MySQL, resource providers, or web apps, you'll probably want to deploy those from the administrator login anyway, because that is an administrator or a provider level task either way. So, yes, I'm talking through the black screen here as it's logging in for the first time. But, so prepping this, session or, you know, the administrator context for this client VM is not a bad thing anyway. It's one of the first things I do whenever I redeploy or deploy a new instance of the Azure Stack POC. And I don't know why this is taking so long, so I'm going to wait. And we're back. So it took a little longer than I expected to remote desktop in. It won't take that long the second time I do it. But you can see here, we do have the desktop icons across all identities here. But if we try to go and use them, because we're logging in as administrator, they default to Edge. So it's going to give you that you can't use Edge as an administrator. The main reason we have the Azure Stack user, right? But the first thing we're going to do here, as I said, we're logging in administrator. We're going to go ahead and disable this here. If you guys come up with a better way of handling, you don't want to turn it off, and you're going to handle how the PowerShell interacts with IE and allows for JavaScript and all that, please, you know, make a video of your own, comment, blog, let me know, tweet at me, and I'd be happy to promote that guidance on being more secure than turning it completely off. But for this proof of concept environment, this is the fastest way to unblock yourself. So I'm going to do that, and then because I'm going to use PowerShell to deploy MySQL and SQL and web apps as the administrator here, I'm actually going to go into IE and do that cookie fix like we did before. I know that seems kind of an extra step, but if you're going to run PowerShell, you're going to want to do this. And this is likely a point-in-time thing. It seems like an odd thing to just go in and click OK, and it solves the issue. So obviously, we are using Technical Preview 4 of Windows Server 2016, so it's probably a thing with that. So, and you may have hit this before if you're using TP4 of Server for other reasons. So now, at this point, we're good to go. I can start running PowerShell from here, and as well as the user, when I log into it, won't have that IE enhanced security blocker, and then we're going to still have to do the cookie fix up for that identity. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to log off as administrator, or sign out as administrator, and then I'm going to log in as usual. Like now, this is where the experience is what we normally would do. So I'm going to go ahead and click there, and then just log in with the default user that as the primary user of the Azure Stack environment. Now you could add other users in Active Directory since you sort of own the stamp. Not sort of, you own the stamp for Azure Stack. But you know, because the standard, you know, two on each RDP session or two sessions each, you're going to be limited either way. Now, how you deal with that is up to you. We do have an option for multiple concurrent users with a VPN solution, so you might want to look at that. That's in the documentation. If you're just evaluating this, kicking the tires, go ahead and log in with the default stuff, and you'll be good to go. Now, like I said, one of the first things I do want to do is do that cookie fix once more. And again, this is because I'm running PowerShell. If you're not planning to run PowerShell, you don't have to do this. But PowerShell does take advantage of IE when it's authenticating via AAD. I'm going to go ahead and just do this thing one last time. Okay, and go ahead and close. And the next thing I'm going to actually do is log into the portal as the person that, or the identity that was the whole thing was provisioned as, which is that Charles Joy account. So I'm going to need my two-factor authentication ready. I'm going to do that right now. And then I'll do that. I'll kick off a PowerShell 1.2, and that will complete the round-trip validation for initial workload stuff. So. This does take a little bit of time the first time the portal loads. It's not like this every time. So, it's good to get these cobwebs knocked out upon initial deployment, and then you'll be good to go for future use. And while we're waiting for that, I'm going to go ahead and copy. Of course, as soon as I say that, it's ready to go. So let me just get my train of thought here and get my demo files, which I always copy over into my system. And this is just a conglomeration of stuff that I've used for validation over time, but most of it's from GitHub, which you should familiarize yourself with, which is aka MS Azure Stack GitHub. We have a bunch of links to all that information available online. You can see all the stuff. I'm going to actually rename this to templates so it fits all my scripts. And then we'll be doing this hybrid demo thing as soon as I complete my sign-in here. So charles.joy@hotmail.com. It's going to redirect me to that identity's MSA sign-in page. So let me just log in. And then it's two-factor, and that's all ready for me. And obviously your account will vary based on the thing that you use, but you can see here it's going through logging me in. It's authenticated me through AAD, and what I'll get is this provider, essentially portal, because I am the service admin in this environment, the owner, because, and that's the identity I used to provision. So you could see here, you can see resource providers, and I've given this that demo before. I'm not going to go through that, but you could see I have access to that provider level information, but also I can provision things. You know, I even could get a subscription, create an offer and all that, and get a subscription to it if I want. I'm just going to use my Charles Joy identity just for, you know, this demo. You could see I could just do new, and then compute, And you could see we have the image in there. And of course, you could add your own images. I'm not going to go through all that. But so this plumbing's working. I'm not going to actually deploy from the portal, mostly because if I deploy from the portal, it doesn't pick up the DNS configuration that we need for TP1. And then I'd have to go and do that, which is perfectly fine. We have documentation around that. But my primary method for deployment is PowerShell, and I'm going to take you through that right now. And then I'm not going to run through the whole thing, but I'll kick it off, and I'll show you how that's working in the portal. So the next thing I do here for validation after I've deployed an Azure Stack is check the portal, make sure I can log in, and then I check PowerShell, make sure I can authenticate, and then kick off a simple template, which is just the Windows template, because I haven't copied in the Ubuntu image that we have available yet, or any other ones that you, I mean, you're free to copy things into the PIR as well, the Platform Image Repository. One thing I do want to note is you do in TP1, and this will change for TP2, highly likely, because we want to limit the exposure to the infrastructure, going to file servers and going to Hyper-V and things like that, is that in TP1, though, you do get access to the Scale File Server Share CRP platform images. This is where other images would end up if you use the documentation and the available script to do that. And then you have the guest artifact repository as well, which has the extensions that we make available, PowerShell DSC, Docker, and whatnot. You've seen those demonstrations from some of us in the past. We'll do more in the future. All right, so basically, we're going to just go ahead and execute this hybrid demo to validate a virtual machine, a simple Windows one. So I'm going to go ahead and open PowerShell. And open that PowerShell file. And of course, you probably have your own things that you do. And let's see, my hybrid demo. I'm not doing anything in Azure, so I'm going to go ahead and close or minimize that. But my Azure Stack environment here, you can see my tenant AAD tenant name. I should change that from ID. It's just old over legacy script stuff. But this here will be appended to this, which makes the environment, the endpoints all line up good. And we do a, we add the Azure RM account based on this environment that we're going through here. But of course, your tenant thing would go here, and the rest is sort of canned. And you can name your environment whatever you want. I just name my Azure Stack, and then I can essentially authenticate, which I'll show you, where it's key that we did all those steps in IE with the cookie stuff and the disable IE enhanced security. And then we go ahead and I do the get provider subscription to make sure and select it to make sure that's the subscription I'm doing. I do some quick variables for the location, which is local. That's more for the resource group, and then the storage endpoint, and then a password that I'm using for my deployments. So you could do whatever you want there. It's just a simple password there. You could also prompt for it. It doesn't matter. Whatever you choose your password is, it doesn't matter. These are guest VMs anyway. So, and then I have the standard. I have my, you may have seen this before. It basically makes sure I'm getting a new resource group so I don't start cobbling or trampling over other things. And then I go ahead and kick it off. So, and of course, this template, Azure Deploy, is in my thing, and it's just a simple Windows VM 101. So let's go ahead and go through this. I'm going to run this region first, and it's going to go ahead and prompt me for my login, just like the portal did, except this is just a different endpoint. And this window here is the place where it would say, hey, cookies aren't enabled or JavaScript's not enabled, and we already know the fix for that. So I'm going to just log in like I did before with the portal. It's going to redirect me. I'm going to put my password in. Then I'm going to do my two-factor authentication. And of course, I could, make it easier on myself, but I'm not going to do that this time. I'll probably just redeploy this environment later anyway. It doesn't matter. So it's going to authenticate me. Another flash of a window. That's always a good sign. And then it says, hey, you've chosen that subscription. We could actually validate that. The subscription ID is 96B. We could go and look for my subscriptions in here. And we should have one subscription. If we look at, it was already up there. Where is it? 96B. There we go. So it's the right subscription. Not that I have any other subscription that's an environment. But we're good to go there. Now I can just simply, if I want to make sure, just run this, you know, my RG01, that's exactly what I want. And then I'm just going to run this, and it creates the resource group in the local location, and then kicks off the Azure Deploy template here. And that will run and create a virtual machine that I then could deploy extensions on or do whatever I want with it. But we'll have networking enabled inbound and outbound based on what's in the template. And the key difference there, the reason I do templates as opposed to just in the portal, and this is your prerogative, but if we take a look for DNS, for TP1, we do have a requirement. Here it is. For DHCP options, DNS servers, adding this here. This is a requirement for TP1 if you want your VMs to have outbound connectivity. So I just use templates, so it's already there. I don't have to worry about it. Again, we have instructions on if you deployed something from the gal or the marketplace, how to fix up your VNet, which is pretty easy. So again, I'm getting too far into the deployment, I think, but I did want to show you that this is the first things I do after I deploy an Azure Stack POC, just to make sure the everything's working as expected. Once that's kicked off, I go to resource groups. I then see my resource group that's in here and see that it's deploying. And you can see most of the resources are already there. Or I guess I hit it a little bit too soon for the VM to show up. I will wait now. Let's see if it's where we are here. Let me expand here so it doesn't jump around. You can see it is working on that VM. I bet if we refreshed the blades here, we'd see the resource show up. And then there it is, and 5 minutes or so from now we'll have a VM, and I can start doing whatever I want with it. And if you're interested, what I do next is I add a Linux image to the PIR. I have a template and a script to do that. Then I play around with some extensions. I might do SharePoint. There's a whole bunch of things you can do. I always set up so I could do Docker demos and DSC demos, things like that. Essentially, this is it. I deployed it. You watched me from unpackaging the file that you get downloaded, extraction, doing the boot from VHD, going through the deployment. I mean, we didn't watch the deployment go, but you saw that it did deploy. And I don't know, we're good to go, and I can now have an Azure Stack up and running and pretty quickly. So I hope you enjoyed this little deployment tutorial with a little demo at the end of what sort of the next steps I do after deployment. And I hope to have enough time to do more videos like this. And I hope if that's something you want, please tweet at me. Let me know that that's something you want. I always enjoy doing them. And it always helps when I have the backing of the community that they want to see more of these. Again, thank you very much for your attention. And I hope this helps you with your Azure Stack TP1 proof of concept environment deployments. Thanks. Bye.